Min Brindavan, India. It's March 4th, 2017. I'm sitting with Prahladananda Swami, who joined ISKCON in 1968 in Buffalo, New York. So we'd like to hear what things were like in 1968 in Buffalo, New York.
I found out about Krishna consciousness at the beginning of 1968. Some of my friends were living at 26 Second Avenue, and I went home. I was a student at the University of Buffalo at that time. So I used to go home and visit my parents in Brooklyn. And so I'd see my friends there, and they told me about they're living in 26 Second Avenue. Basically, they said they got up around 5 o'clock in the morning and they would dance. So I thought they had become moon worshippers. Not that I don't think anyone got initiated at that time. But that's when I learned the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. And then later on, when I was at the University of Buffalo, one of my friends, his name was Jeffrey Hickey, he told me they had opened, this is in May of 1968, he told me they had opened a temple, or there was some kind of temple near the university that he was going to. So I went down there to see what it was like. And there I met Rupanuga and the other devotees. There's only a few devotees there. At that time, Burjan had just moved into the temple, and Jeffrey Hickey, later on, he became a Jagadish Prabhu. And so I went down there, and we chanted Hare Krishna, and one big cockroach crawled over my legs. And I thought, this is rather strange. Because LaSalle Avenue was where the temple was. It was actually, it was a bend. It was kind of like, well, it wasn't kind of. It was a railroad station house, rather beaten down. In the place where they had the temple, there was a big hole in the middle of the floor. It was only a two-story building, and it was big enough to have a small temple, and then in the back there was a kitchen, and then on the top is where the devotees lived. A few rooms. No, it was just worn down.
Just worn through.
Yeah, it was an abandoned. It was kind of. It wasn't abandoned. We were paying rent, but it was a railroad house, where you know where they, the railroad trains would go by, and that there was a station there so that someone would probably put down the flag if the railroad was if the train was coming through. So I came down there and they taught me the. I was got some beads, started to chant Hare Krishna. I was chanting 25 rounds a day. And I was living with one of my friends. I was a student at the University of Buffalo. One of my friends was living with me. Mostly we were doing Hatha Yoga. And I was doing astrology at that time. I was a vegetarian. Actually, I was a fruitarian. And my friend, he also joined eventually. His name was Kanapriya. He got initiated as Kanapriya, rather controversial person at that time. And I'd go down to the different, that they had twice a week at the university. Rupanuga would, outside, he'd give a little program. And then Burjan was giving Bhagavad Gita class once or twice a week. There was only, we only had one verse that was, there was no Bhagavad Gita at that time. Prabhupada didn't have the Bhagavad Gita. All we had was Ramakrishna's Bhagavad Gita and only one verse from it. Deno sminita dehe kamaram yovanam jara ta dahantara praptira duyas tatra namuyati. Burjan would lecture from that one verse for weeks at a time. We didn't, the book, the little blue Bhagavad Gita didn't come out until 69. The only thing we had was Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada's originally three.
So you were already just moved in. You make it sound so easy. Was it that you just...
Oh, I didn't move in yet. I was still. I didn't move in until around January 69. I was just going to the programs. We didn't really have... The only programs were... Rupanuga would have a little kirtan outside the... What was called the Ratskeller, which was like the main hall for... where they had the cafeteria. And he'd do that a couple of times a week. And Burjan once or twice a week would have a Bhagavad Gita class, some room. Only a few people would come. At first, for Rupanuga's program, only a few people would come, but mostly it was outside. And I'd always challenge Rupanuga with different philosophical questions, see if I could defeat him.
Did you have a philosophy background?
Somewhat. At that time, I was studying things like someone called Paul Bruton, and of course, we always had those different books on, what was the name of the author, mostly existentialism. And in any case, I wasn't so convinced about my philosophy. But I was, that time I was practicing yoga at least 4 or 5 hours a day besides going to school. In fact, I had a job as a model doing hatha yoga exercises in an art school. So I sometimes stand on my head for an hour or two. But I'd go down after some time. I mean, one time it was with Kanapriya, and I realized that as soon as I stopped chanting Hare Krishna, then immediately I'd fall into what was called Maya. And then I was with him one day. We were on the bus. We went to his house, and he was fighting with his parents, but I started chanting Hare Krishna. And immediately everything became very peaceful. So then I thought, this is very powerful. And I decided to move into the temple in January of that year, for 69.
You make it sound so easy. There was no drama to move in,
no
challenge?
Well, I was away from my parents. My parents didn't know I'd moved in. But I still went to school, even though I was a devotee.
Somebody joined from Buffalo. What was the deal there?
I don't think there was anything special about it. Yeah, I mean, I was in class. One time I had one class when I was going to this. Burjan was in it, and Trivikram Maharaj was also in it. Somehow or another, Krishna just put everyone together there. Rupanuga, one time, he asked me if I wanted to get married. I said, not really. Then he convinced me I should get married, that all the leaders in the society are getting married. I should also get married. So I agreed. I said, well, first you have to, he had to write to Prabhupada, so I thought maybe Prabhupada wouldn't agree to it, but Prabhupada agreed to it. So then Prabhupada said I should open a temple. So then they arranged this marriage with me, but I wasn't very compatible with this particular lady. Or as they say, she wanted romance, and I didn't really have anything to do with that. So she left within a couple of weeks. We never got really actually legally married, but by a fire sacrifice. In any case, she left, but still the idea was that I should open a temple. So
without a wife?
Yeah, without a wife. Didn't.
Uh-huh. So where'd you go?
First, the end of 70, must have been 71, then they sent me to Miami to open the temple there.
From what I hear, back then everybody was expected to go open a temple.
Yeah, probably wanted that.
So what was involved? Okay, I'm going to go open a temple in Miami. Did they give you anything to...
Nothing.
With you?
Nothing.
A pair of cartels?
No.
No? Not even a pair of cartels.
They sent me by plane to Miami. They didn't even tell me where to go when I got there.
Just get off in the airport.
Well, at that time, Vishnu Jan Maharaj, Gargamuni Maharaj, Ramananda Maharaj, Subal Maharaj, they had hitchhiked down from Detroit. So I was supposed to meet them down there. Somehow or another, they didn't tell me where they were, because I guess no one knew where they were, but when I got there, I asked around, and eventually I found them in a bookstore. And the only thing they gave me was a glass of milk, because that's the only thing they had. And then I found out the next day they were all leaving, except for Gargamuni, who was going to stay there in the park, Coconut Grove Park.
Peacock Park?
Yeah. So then we were living on the ground there, in Peacock Park.
Just sleeping on the grass.
Yeah.
Of course, back then we were all hippies and we were kind of used to that. Had you been living like that before?
No, I was a student at the University of Buffalo.
Okay. I had been living like that.
No.
It wasn't too far out of line. I mean, you probably knew people that had done that.
Not really.
No. So what did you think?
I didn't think. That's what we were. How Krishna arranged it. The only thing that Gargamuni allowed us to, every morning we'd get up and our bath was in the sink at the park. Mm-hmm. Then we'd chant our rounds. And we'd start cooking at the grills. We'd start cooking.
Build a fire, find some wood to burn.
Well, it was the grills where they, you know, the Carmies would, at the park, where they make things. Yeah, we got a fire, and then we'd make chapatis. Gopinath and myself would make chapatis, and Garg Muni Maharaj at that time would make apple chutney. And then we'd have a little kirtan around 12 o'clock, and then the hippies would gather around. We'd put a little apple chutney in a chapati and go around and distribute them. And then at the end of that, our allowance every day was 2 chapatis, a little apple chutney.
Oh,
and we could get whatever remnants from the hippies were there, we can also eat those.
How did you get the flour and the apples?
We bought them. Gopinath and myself would do. Well, Garga, when he got a $100 donation on the way down from Detroit, but he wouldn't spend it. So Gopinath and myself would go out and do book distribution every day, selling back to Godheads. And that was the money we used to buy the supplies. And we got back in time, then Gargamuni allowed us to buy 2 bananas with a quarter of a pint of sour cream. But we usually didn't get back in time, so that was only rarely we got
back in time from...
From doing book distribution.
Uh-huh. What year is this again? 71, 72?
The end of 71.
So you kept that going for some months and then...
No, it was actually just a few weeks. It was in October of 71. And then they asked me to... Then Sridham came with his wife with a maxi van. They decided he'd open the temple. Gargamuni went with Gopinath. They went up to Gainesville to open the temple there, and I hitchhiked over to Houston to join with Vishnu John Maharaj and Srinath.
Hitchhiked to Houston?
Yeah.
And all you had was Hare Krishna clothes?
Yeah, through.
How many sets of clothes did you have?
Probably 1 or 2.
Did you wash your clothes every day?
I can't.
Out in the park?
Something like that.
Then hitchhiked to Houston. How did that work?
It was 3 days to get there. First person to pick me up was intoxicated. So he took me to the wrong side of Miami. I mean, it wasn't a right or wrong side, but he just took me to the other...
The wrong direction.
Not the wrong direction. It's just the wrong... Of course, you want to go north, but you'd rather go northeast rather than northwest. But anyhow, that was the first ride. And then the second ride, some lady picked me up, and she said, you know, don't worry, I won't harm you. And then after that, then sometimes I got rides going in the wrong direction because it was raining, just to get out of the rain. Eventually I got to, I guess you went through Florida, and then eventually went through Mississippi and Louisiana and Alabama, not necessarily in that order, and then finally get to Texas.
Mississippi, Alabama, wearing a dhoti.
Yeah, I got picked up. We got picked up by the police.
Uh-huh.
They asked me.
That was like, when did that movie Easy Rider come out? I mean, that's kind of... Did you see that movie, or was that... You missed that one. There's some scenes there in the South.
Yeah, it was like that in the South. We had a lot of experiences with the police. Yeah, they had stopped Vishnu John Maharaj and Srinath had hitchhiked before I came there. I didn't know about it. But they got arrested and put in jail for some time.
For hitchhiking?
For wearing a dress. I was in Alabama, and I got picked up by police also there. Asked me why I was wearing a dress.
What did you tell them?
I can't remember.
So they gave you some trouble for that, but they let you go?
Yeah, they let me go. I remember when I had a hitchhike, Gargamuni took me to the store and he bought me a quarter of a pound of fried chickpeas to take with me. And the man there at the health food store, he gave me a couple of date bowls because he was feeling a little compassionate.
Because you didn't have any money.
Well, yeah, I didn't have anything. No money.
So you traveled for 3 days with a bag of chickpeas and
quarter of a pound of chickpeas, which wasn't very much. But I didn't eat them because it wasn't very appealing. Some people on the way bought me a couple of bananas, which I offered. I remember when they ate them, they were amazed how they tasted. Finally, some people picked me up in, I guess that was Louisiana, and they thought I was going to the Buddhist temple in Texas, so they drove me to Texas from there. Mm-hmm. They dropped me off at the Buddhist temple, and I had no idea where the devotees were.
They were just somewhere in Texas.
They were in Houston, I knew that, because that's where they told me to go. But then I called up Sasrup Maharaj Collect, and he finally accepted the call, and then he told me where the devotees were. And when I got, they were living in a garage apartment, Srinath and Vishnujan Maharaj. When I got there, they had just finished the offering, and they gave me a stack of chapatis. So I thought that was for all of us, because after 3 or 4 weeks, I was only eating 2 chapatis a day, They gave me at least 4 or 5, so I thought we were supposed to share them. And they told me I could eat all of them, which was the first time I had eaten in 3 days.
Okay. So you met them there in a garage, and they gave you some...
Garage apartment.
So that must have been nice to be settled up, sort of.
Yeah, it was a step up from...
Living on the road.
And in the park.
What were you sleeping on the road for three days, so 2 nights you had to sleep on the roadside with...
No, we didn't sleep. I don't remember sleep. I mean, one lady who picked me up, she said she brought me to her house where I could take rest there. The other times we weren't really sleeping. Every day we had kirtan at night, and Vishnujan Maharaj would go, and there was no one at the kirtan. He'd go outside and just grab people, bring them in. Well, as soon as we went out to do book distribution in Houston, because that was our only way of making a living, with Back to Godhead magazines, immediately the police came and arrested us. Took us to the police station, and I was chanting Hare Krishna, and the policeman said, "Stop doing that." But I kept on doing it, so he took out his gun. He was going to hit me with his gun. Not such friendly people. And then I stopped chanting. And then they released us after some time. And then there was a trial on television. We were going to be tried before the city council.
On television?
Yeah, there was a city council meeting, and our case was coming up before them. But one man went up to one of the reporters who was covering it and offered him $50 to hit because Vishnujan Maharaj was on television going to be tried. He said, "I'll give you $50 to hit the monk." But he was a reporter, and he testified before the city council that he was just being paid to hit the monk on television. So the city council was embarrassed, and they just dismissed our case, so that we were therefore allowed to distribute books in downtown Houston. So every day we'd go there. That was the only place we have. And we started to go to the University of Houston, and Vishnujan Maharaj would start singing, and at least 100 students would gather around. His voice was so attractive.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a harmonium or
no.
Kartals?
I think we had kartals. That was about it at that time.
No mridanga? People would gather.
I got some kind of drum, but wasn't a mridanga. Uh-huh. And then Vishnujan Maharaj he'd cook Simply Wonderfuls, like 100 Simply Wonderfuls. And when we were driving down there, because we didn't have a car, but on our way down there, he'd eat all the Simply Wonderfuls. So when we got there's nothing left to eat, to distribute. And every week on Sunday, we'd make big chapatis, and we'd make sabji, and then we'd put a little sabji in each part of the chapati and roll it up and distribute that for the Sunday feast in the park. I forget the name of the park.
A park in Houston somewhere.
Yeah.
Near the university?
No, it's just a park. Uh-huh. Then eventually we moved to a different place. I forget the name of the place that we moved to. An old wooden shack. Gray Street it was. We moved to a place in Gray Street. You could actually look out the wall, you can see actually see through the walls the outside. And it was, I remember it was winter, it was bitter cold.
Oh, no.
Inside. It's colder inside than it was outside. So we went out, I was distributing back to Godheads, and we just collected enough so we can buy some heaters, gas heaters. But the gas was worse than the cold, because the gas were actually gas heaters, old gas heaters. So they actually emanated gas along with the heat. So we didn't know which was worse, getting asphyxiated or being freezing. But devotees joined. A number of devotees joined at that time. The end of 71, but 72.
Who were some of the devotees that joined?
Well, I can't remember their names, actually, who joined in Houston, but I remember Dina Bandhu eventually came with his wife, Akuti. They came to Houston. So they were like the main householders. And then Vishnujan Maharaj left. I guess it was at the end of 71. He went to open the temple in... He was on his way out to California, but he stopped down in Austin, Texas, and opened a temple there. And then there was Dina Bandhu and his wife, and myself and a few other devotees. And Srinath was there also.
So folks were joining, it was growing.
Yeah.
How long did you stay there?
I stayed there for a little while, and then a devotee named Mohanananda came, and he wanted to take charge of the Houston temple, so I went to the Dallas temple. And there was Prajapati and his wife, and I became the temple president there for some time. Till Mohanananda decided to come back to Dallas, and then I went to Austin, Texas. And I became the temple president there.
You were in Texas all these years.
Yeah, until 75.
Austin, what was that like?
Well, there was a number of devotees. There was Morty Das and Adi Dave. Morty Das was a university professor. He was teaching art or something. And Adi Dave was also a sculptor. Then eventually different devotees came. One of them was Sankarshan joined. And also Kirti Dave. And Siddhavidya joined there also.
Great people.
Yeah. We had actually around 10 or 12 devotees join there. We were living in a place that Adi Dave and Morty Das had rented, but he had only rented it for him and his wife. So then the landlord came and saw there was like 12 people living there. And he kicked us out. So that made it difficult. I gave to Houston, Texas, Houston Temple, I gave Kirti Das, and I gave Siddhavidya. Two best devotees we had.
Oh, because they had no place to stay.
Well, they asked for devotees. At that time, I was not so much aware of the value of keeping good men. So I gave away the best devotees we had. But we were mostly doing book distribution at that time. We were going out 7 days a week.
So how long did you stay there?
3 years.
And then what?
Well, then I joined with Radha Damodar. I joined with the actual main Radha Damodar bus, with Vishnujan and Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Uh-huh. To begin with, I was a Sankirtan leader. And then I went with Janardhan. We had our own little maxi van. We traveled all of, mostly the Midwest, up and down the Midwest of U.S.
Distributing books. At that time, books meant big books or mostly magazines?
Mostly books, big books.
Parking lots?
Yeah, mostly parking lots.
Throughout the Midwest, what was your favorite town there?
Well, Utah was nice. The people, the Mormons were good.
That's not in the Midwest.
I think we did different things. Sometimes we were doing incense, and then we give out Back to Godhead magazine at the beginning. I don't think I really started to do big books until I was they were more interested in how much money we were collecting. But then when I got into doing the airports, then it was all big books. It was the only thing we distributed. That was probably more like 76.
Where was that?
I wasn't with any party. mostly they were sending, like the first time I was doing the airports, I was with
Shankar Pandit.
We did the we were distributing at the Milwaukee airport. That was in that was in 77 when Prabhupada was sick. I was supposed to go, and first they told me I was going to go to Vrindavan to be with Prabhupada, and then they just changed their mind. Kasura went instead of myself. And then they sent me to Milwaukee with Shankar Pandit to distribute books at the airport there. Then I did the different places like North Carolina, the Charlotte airport.
So while you were living in the park in Miami, say a hurricane happened?
Yeah, a hurricane came and we were cooking chapatis. We didn't know, because we had no communication, so we didn't know about what the weather was going to be like. So suddenly we're in the middle of a hurricane while we're cooking chapatis. We did notice that no one else was in the park except for us. So obviously we stopped cooking the chapatis because no one was going to eat them.
And you say you weren't prepared for any kind of cold weather.
No, I only went down there with a dhoti and a sleeping bag, and that was it.
And so it was getting pretty cold in the hurricane.
Oh, it was freezing cold.
High winds.
Yeah.
Stuff flying around, rain. And so what'd you do?
Got wet. But I remember the next.
Sit out in the grass, or did you go indoors somewhere?
No, there's no place to go.
Really? No.
We went inside the restroom. Because that's where we bathed, so. But the next day someone came, I remember they offered us we could sleep in their car. But that's the time that Sridhar came by with his maxi van and his wife. So that's when they told me to hitchhike over to Houston. So I didn't get to sleep in the car.